Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm an alcoholic. And welcome to the family members here. And it's been a long weekend, you guys. For those of you guys don't know, we just had Antelope Valley celebrated our 52nd annual roundup. And it's been a very long weekend. I actually took the weekend off so that like I can actually attend to all the little things that go on for this roundup. This roundup was really important to me. You know, I was raised in the Antelope Valley, so when it was told to me, even before I did stop drinking, that, you know, I was introduced to going to the roundup, I would go, you know, drunk or sober. I liked the roundup. So, I do have a sobriety date. It's May 12th of 2014, so in May I celebrated 11 years. It's the longest I've ever been sober, other than I think the first time I took a drink, I was probably around 12. It's kind of funny because I think back now, and even in early sobriety, it was really hard to bring into my memory of what my drinking looked like in the very, very beginning. Like, when was my first drink? I still don't remember. But I do know that drinking was really important to me, you know. Back to the logistics. I do have a home group. This is it. And I do have a sponsor, and I do sponsor other women. I'm very active with my sponsor. I talk to her quite a bit, especially lately, because I'm having some things in my life where family members and I'm having to take care of parents and stuff in my home, and I don't know, I'm still got some selfish and self-centered stuff going on, and I really don't sometimes want to suit up in the particular areas in their lives that are needed, and because I have my own ideas of what I want my life to look like, and it wasn't like this, but you know, here I am. So yeah, I just turned 50 this week, and right. I didn't, I feel like mature now. Like I'm 50 years old, and now when I can talk to little whippersnappers, right? Like, you need to listen to what I say, because now I'm 50, so I'm mature, right? I don't know, I'm just weird. You know, I wear it very well, I feel. I remember looking at people who were 50 when I wasn't 50, and I was like, wow, like, that's an accomplishment, I feel. So I feel like I've accomplished something. I don't know. So, you know, my drinking was, it did take on some drug use too. I'm going to keep it in a general way because we do have family members in the room. But, you know, I want to tell you that it was monotonous. I had a lot of interventions where, frothy emotional peel. The family members didn't like the behavior that went along with my drinking and using. The court systems didn't like what was going on with my drinking and using. The state of California had a really big problem with my drinking and using, you know. And so there were times that I would have to come to you guys, and they would obviously monitor my bodily fluids, and I'd have to prove to them that I wasn't putting anything in my system. And so obviously I'd come into rooms, and I would hear the message, and I, you know, I don't know if there was ever, you know, they talk about not having a reservation, and I don't know that I had any reservation. It wasn't like in the back of my head. It was like, I'm going to drink at a wedding, or I'm going to smoke pot because it's natural. It wasn't like that. My reservations, when I was a part of AA and having to come here, was the part of AA that I didn't think applied to me. You know, those were the reservations I was holding on to. You know, I didn't think that I needed to really disclose to another human being every little small detail of my life. There was a lot of embarrassing things that I participated in that I just didn't feel were necessary to tell another human being. I didn't even want to say them out loud, so I know you didn't want to hear it. You know, and, you know, fast forward, thank God for unfortunate events in my life. And in 2014, in a matter of weeks, I had been arrested twice. I woke up with a dead body in the bathroom of the home I was living in. They put handcuffs on me and my adult son that was with me at the time. I was riding a bike around the Antelope Valley and I fell into a ditch and just all, and I was 38 years old when I got sober. Just humiliating things that were going on. And because I'd been in AA quite a bit and I had the experience of what drinking and using was doing to myself personally, there was nothing left standing that I could actually point the finger at and the reason I'm doing this to myself because of, it was all my fault. I was doing it to myself. You know, and there's something to be said in that point, you know, where it's the bitter morass of the very end, you know. Thank God for that bitter morass of the very end, because when I finally decided to accept the program outlined in the book, Big Book, there was no wavering. There was no bargaining. There was no reservation. There was no, I wrote it all down. I told everything. I said the most embarrassing things, and I didn't care. I didn't care what you thought, because what you thought was not as important as me not feeling the way I felt when I walked back in the door again, you know? And what happened to me was very profound, you know, very profound. You guys gave me the ability to take money that I was earning and pay back money to people that necessarily didn't know that was missing. You know, like I could have got away with it and I still didn't, you know, like you guys gave me the ability to allow, my employer to do less than righteous with me. And I didn't walk out with the cash, you know what I mean? Like you guys gave me the ability to be a woman and a human being and responsible and all these things. And it felt weird. It felt weird. Like surreal, like an out of body experience of looking at myself and how I was behaving and the things that were going on in my life. I couldn't believe it. You know, and then I got a chance to sponsor other women and I got to see the lights turn on for them. And then I really fell in love with this process. You know, it's really something to say when God gives you front row seats to his miracles, you know. And the more miracles I was able to see that were going on around me, the more of them that would happen. You know, you just open that door a little bit and it almost flies open all on its own. You know, and I think that, you know, I think the nail in the coffin, for lack of a better term, that's probably not a good one, what I'm about to say, but, you know, in 2019, the kid that I got put in handcuffs next to ended up dying in a motorcycle accident, and I was able to walk through that with some dignity and some grace, and I was able to stay sober, and I was able to, you know, going to 90 meetings in 90 days, I was able to hold my hand out. I was able to pick up on a couple more girls to sponsor. You know, I'd already made this my home group, and I was here diligently. I had the 50-50 commitment, and I accidentally gave the winner all the money instead of 50% of it. And, you know, I just, you know, I'm still really impressed with what you guys have done in my life. Really impressed. You know, and the things that I've been able to suit up and show up for. You know, and it's not to say I'm still alcoholic. My head still says things to me that aren't true. I still have to run things by my sponsor because I've shared this a few times with girls in an intimate level, but I'll share it at the podium. It's not, denial is, I know the truth, but you've asked me the question and I don't admit. Right? But delusional is that I don't even know that I'm lying. I believe certain things and I'm still trying to iron out those old ideas. I still have a lot of old ideas that I need, and I have 11 years of sobriety. And I still know that there's a lot of old ideas that need to be rearranged in me. And thank God that that I still have really big pillars in my life that are willing to help me do that. You know, I'm just grateful, real grateful. That my life was in that bitter morass. because I think that was the key to what it was that it took for me to stay here. So thank you for letting me share.